Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, January the 4th in the year 2012. Got that right, not 2011, but 2012, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic tonight is divorce prevention for ADHD couples. And with us in our virtual studio tonight is Melissa Orlov. Very excited about tonight's show, as I always am. We were very, very fortunate here at Attention Talk Radio to get some spectacular guests, and many of our guests actually returned several times, of which Melissa is a returnee. Before we get into tonight's topic, just a few reminders. If you haven't done so, we encourage you to go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. Like our page if you're a Facebook person. If you're not a Facebook person, you don't have to be on Facebook. You can actually access that without being on Facebook. But on that page, you can actually access our archive shows. You can see a list of our upcoming shows. You can listen to the show live. And if you're not the type of person who likes to go out and look at that type of stuff, you can go to our advertising giveaway page and sign up for our newsletter, in which case we'll email you a list of all of our upcoming shows on a bi-monthly basis so you can stay current. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements tonight, so let's get into it. Melissa Orlov is the author of The ADHD Effect on Marriage. She's a marriage consultant. She helps ADHD affected couples from around the world rebalance their relationships and learn to thrive. She also teaches marriage counselors and other professionals about effective marriage therapies for couples impacted by ADHD. Melissa writes for Attitude Magazine, blogs for Psychology Today, and writes her own blog at ADHDmarriage.com. She's been interviewed on the topic of ADHD and marriage by the New York Times, CNN, Today, U.S. News and World Report, CBS, and AOL, and many others. And Attention Talk Radio. She's also a cum laude graduate from Harvard College. So with that, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be on.
It's a thrill to have you back. Melissa was on our show last February, February 2nd to be specific, and the topic was moving forward in ADHD relationships, what you need to know. And the show was exceptionally insightful, I encourage everybody, there's some material that we are not going to cover tonight that's in that show, so if you find this helpful, I encourage you to go listen to that show as well for some of those tidbits. Melissa, to kind of kick some things off, in the last show, you did highlight a few divorce facts, and I'd like to, if you could just highlight those again to kind of kick some stuff off, and then we'll just kind of get into the meat of things.
Okay, well, so the state of marriage and ADHD, if the ADHD is untreated, is not that great, unfortunately. So the divorce rate for people with ADHD is almost double for those as it is with those who don't have it, and also about 58% of marriages with one or both partners with ADHD that is untreated are dysfunctional, clinically dysfunctional. So they get to that way after a while. It doesn't start out that way, but over time the patterns repeat themselves enough they become more and more difficult. So that's not lovely.
But that's for untreated. Are you familiar with any statistics by chance on for those that are treated for ADHD?
Well, so this research actually is older. Part of the issue is that most folks with most adults with ADHD actually don't know that they have it, and
uh-huh.
so by definition are untreated. but the research did actually have people in it who knew about their ADHD, but it was done some while ago, and as far as I know, it hasn't been updated since. So
certainly,
it's not. You know, it hasn't been pursued to get new numbers.
Well, one of the reasons that we're having you on tonight is for those that are in ADHD relationships, there is some hope. And I guess I kind of want to switch over to some of the work that you do, because you work with people that are struggling in their relationships. Can you tell us about when people come to you, like, how do you work with them, and how do you start some things off to kind of get couples to work together?
Well, typically, first of all, I always work with both members of the couple. I don't work with individuals because relationship interactions can't be solved by one person alone. You really have to both be working on those things. And I will start out with a questionnaire that I send out where I want people to tell me what their goals are for working with me and et cetera. So I have a sense. They give me some insight into the things that are most distressing to them and the things that they're most interested in changing and et cetera, so that we can really hit the ground running. And then I work with them. Typically, couples when they start out, in real trouble with me. Most of the couples that I work with are on the verge of divorce when they start
mm-hmm.
with me, sort of the nature of the beast, I guess. And so I try to figure out what the biggest hot spots are from that questionnaire and really start right in on what those hot spots are and try to diffuse things. Typically, a couple will be, probably both members of the couple are in denial, actually. The ADHD spouse often is in denial that the ADHD is really as important as it is. Those symptoms are as important as they are in the relationship. And typically the non-ADHD partner is in denial about his or her role in the dynamics. So there's this sense of the symptoms show up, and then there's a response to the symptom, and then there's a response to the response. And those kinds of back-and-forth dynamics are very important in the sort of repetitive nature of the problems. And so it's both people who have to really work.
It's interesting. I'm listening to you. I wish I could remember who I heard this from first, but it's not me. It's my ADHD. And kind of what I'm hearing from you is that a lot of times couples will come and they're, you know, one's in denial that maybe that's there, and the other one's in denial that it's impacting the relationship. It seems to me that the first order of business is actually to kind of get that on the table. Is that accurate or?
The first order of business is to just to really understand that it is that the ADHD symptoms are not the same thing as the person with the ADHD. And so the first thing really I often try to do is change the sort of story that people hear. They think that their partner is mean to them or that is, you know, suddenly very controlling or doesn't care about them or whatever. I actually wrote a post about this today for Psychology Today about changing the storyline that people convince themselves that they have in these relationships by better educating themselves to what's really going on and that it's the symptoms, not the person. In both cases, so the symptoms that you see, there are ADHD symptoms, obviously, with the ADHD partner. But there are also, if you want to call them, symptoms in the non-ADHD partner, things like anger and controlling behavior and frustration and pursuing an ADHD partner and nagging, those kinds of things. Those are also need to be attended to. So you have both partners.
That's fascinating. So there's kind of symptoms on both sides. One's ADD, one's kind of response to that?
Yeah, exactly. So each person, and I had one of my clients say to me the other day, when we started, I was convinced that the ADHD was the problem in our relationship. And now she says, I understand that it's not just the ADHD, but that I was playing a very big role. And it has totally shifted their relationship. For her to have that insight, her anger was really a problem in this particular case for this couple. And now that she sees it more clearly, it's much easier for her to be empathetic to the struggles that ADHD presents to her husband. And her husband's response when he heard her say that was, well, gee, I'm becoming much more empathetic to the issues that I have created in your life, which is the perfect direction in which to go, to have both of them become more empathetic with the other situation so that they can be more, they can interact more reasonably.
I think what you hit on is really, I'd like to delve into that a little bit more, but I think it's worth kind of covering like the beginning of the relationship, what attracted them to each other. But before we get into all that stuff, I tell you what, why don't we just go to a break right now to kind of get that over with so we're not pressed for time. For those that are interested in learning more about Melissa, contacting Melissa, I presume they can get your book off your website.
I have an audio book now, too.
Awesome. So to do all that stuff, just go to ADHDmarriage.com. Again, that's ADHDmarriage.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition to Attention Talk Radio. I've got Melissa Orlov on the virtual studio, and we're talking about divorce prevention for ADHD couples. Before the break, we were talking about some of the statistics for couples where ADHD is untreated. We talked about her practice and how she begins with a couple, getting a questionnaire to understand what's going on and trying to work with them to kind of shift the story. And it was interesting to me talking about the symptoms of both the ADHD partner and the non-ADHD partner. And she started to allude to some ahas before the break, and I want to kind of get into that a second. But before we do, Melissa, can we just kind of talk about ADHD couples? Because in my experience in working with adults with ADHD and some other people I've interviewed, it's interesting because it seems like the ADHD almost is what attracts couples at the beginning and actually becomes the barrier kind of down the road. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think it is to some degree an issue of opposites attract, where you will often get someone who is very energetic and has a lot to offer in terms of thinking creatively about things to do, very sort of in the moment kind of thing, and then they're attracted to somebody who's a little bit more orderly, and so they complement each other. The impetuous, if you want to call it, person helps the orderly person be looser and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, in the time when you're dating, infatuation is also a chemical that's all about dopamine. And in fact, whether or not you have ADHD, when you are infatuated with somebody, you have very high levels of dopamine. And then when the infatuation ends, which it does for pretty much everybody, the dopamine levels go down to normal. So what it does mean is that you're not really seeing the full person in either case in an infatuation stage. But when you go back to the ADD person and they go down to lower than normal levels of dopamine, which is what ADD is about, then you get a very different kind of interaction between the couple. So they're not. It's not completely fair to say that you're 10 years into your marriage exactly the same person as you were when you were infatuated with each other, because it's not quite chemically you're not actually quite the same person.
Chemically you're not quite the same person. That's interesting. That's insightful. If you're chemically not the same person, it's easy to say why dynamics would be a little bit different.
Yeah, so the dynamics are different, yeah.
So if you chemically are different, the dynamics are different. Actually, let's come back to that. But I know, because in our last show, you spoke to this a little bit, and I think it's kind of important that when you're working with people, ultimately things start to change, and you spoke of two aha moments.
Right.
Can you speak to that, and then we'll kind of come back to actually how we prevent this and manage it.
Okay, so the aha moments, really, I was talking before the break about this becoming more empathetic for the other person in the relationship. The aha moment really is when the ADHD partner says, wow, I didn't realize how much my ADHD symptoms were really impacting you, my partner, and now I have a much better view of what that looks like to you and feels like to you. That's one of the aha moments. The other one is the opposite. It's when the non-ADHD partner says, wow, I wasn't really thinking through what my responses to you are doing to your life. And when they genuinely gain that insight and become more empathetic, like that couple that I was describing, that's a critical moment for a relationship in terms of repairing it and moving forward and moving away from divorce. Once you get to that point, things become easier. You start to have a goal that's much more defined about taking care of the ADHD symptoms, because there's a reason to do so, because you love your partner and you don't want to do that to them anymore, and vice versa, taking care of managing your anger and managing maybe controlling behavior or depressive behavior or frustration, whatever it is that the non-ADD partner has, that understanding that they can't just treat the ADHD partner the way they've been doing it, that doesn't work either. So it's a very important transition.
Absolutely. So step one is really for the couples out there to get, you know, education and information, you know, on this topic, to realize that it's there. And by listening to the show, certainly Melissa's given some great insight to kind of frame this stuff out. But the trick really is the aha. So sometimes people can get the aha just through the experience and reading some information. Other times, do they need a little help?
Well, I get a lot of people saying that my book actually helps them get to that moment, because the first part of the book is all about describing what the patterns look like, and they see them and they go, oh my gosh, that's my life, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's one way to get into the topic. But you really have to work with somebody, or I work with people in the course that I offer. The seminar also tries to get people to this aha moment. That's sort of the objective, actually, of the seminar, is to move people from not being completely sure about what's going on to going, oh my gosh, I really do have to pay attention to this, and then starting to move away from that. So there are different ways to get there. Another is working, and you don't have to be working with me, any therapist or counselor, really just starting to listen more carefully to each other and more respectfully to each other. If you really, you know, part of it, we push people away. We say, well, I don't want to hear you tell me that you don't like me controlling you. I'm controlling you for a reason, because you're not doing your chores or whatever it is. Since you don't do it, I have to do it. I have to remind you. I have to nag you. Well, no, what you need to be doing is listening to your partner, who says, well, that's very uncomfortable for me. I don't like being bossed around. We got to solve it a different way and start to work back and forth on it. Hard to do that when ADHD isn't diagnosed or isn't being properly managed or whatever, because some of the behaviors that are the problems are those symptoms. So,
our intro to this show is it's the show that pays attention to attention. And while we always focus on ADHD, for our listeners out there, if you really listen to the shows, we're really trying to help people move forward by looking at things a little bit differently. And What I'm hearing through this process is the key to really kind of salvage this relationship is trying to get to the aha moment where you start to understand your impact on the other person. You become empathetic for that other person, and then learning begins. And the process leading up to that aha is sometimes it sounds like some type of an experience or some type of way of looking at it differently, whether some people can do it just through education, others might read your book and work with their partner, still others might need to go to somebody else to kind of help them neutralize things a little bit to discuss, you know, ask some questions about it. I know as a coach, that's basically what we do is we try to ask questions to, for people to discover it on their own. And I'm sure a lot of there's cognitive behavioral therapy that does some similar type stuff. And I'm sure that your seminar is really, as you said earlier, to facilitate that. Because what I'm hearing is when those couples actually kind of see the other side of it, they actually start to change their behavior because they see it differently. Is that an accurate assumption?
Yes. My husband actually said that there are sort of three steps to moving forward in your relationship from his perspective. The first is realizing you have the ADHD. The second is understanding how much it's impacting your partner. And then the third step for him, very simplistically, was doing something about it. And he said of those three steps, the second is by far the hardest, is really comprehending what it's doing to your partner. And that, again, that goes both ways. That was the hardest for me, too, was to really internalize what my behavior was doing to my husband. So it's not that easy. But, you know, one way to do it is to read other people's stories, because if it's not your own and you're looking at it sort of third person,
yep,
then you can say, wow, that seems very odd. Why are you doing that? You know, and then you reflect on it and go, well, I do the same thing. Oh,
you know. You know, one of the things that's been interesting, I'm going to throw this out there a little bit, and I'm interested in your comments, Melissa, as I've worked with couples that I've coached, and I've kind of talked about just people, your version of reality is based off of your perception. And I had a woman one time who was talking to me about, you know, the differences between sex and men and women. She says, I mean, this is generic. She just flipped it and said, you know, women are like crock pots and men are like microwaves. And when it comes to sex and intimacy, and it was funny because it struck me because I was like, that's a great metaphor. And I've used it a couple times because if you say it to a couple or a guy or a woman, many times they get it. But when they get it, all of a sudden they start to realize, well, I guess we are kind of different. The plumbing's different. The hormones are different. Why shouldn't the experience be different? And then you start to get curious about the other side. Then you start Then if you say, you know, sir, how can you be more like a crock pot? And ma'am, how can you be more like a microwave? It just changes the thought process that you start to become empathetic and your behavior starts to change because you're paying attention to it a little differently.
Yeah.
Does that?
I'd say that here the gender does play a role. I mean, if you look at Sari Solden's work with ADHD in women, that you know, clearly there is an issue with gender, but I think that the role of ADHD partner and non-ADHD partner is actually stronger even than the gender issues. And so I see more patterns along the defining who's got the ADD and who doesn't.
Sure.
You know, but you do need to think about it. What you need to think about is more along the lines of this, what this person is doing to me is the sort of inevitable result of the either the ADHD symptoms presence or the response to it, that anger is the inevitable result of the of living with undiagnosed ADHD if you have a partner who has it. So there, it's a little bit different from.
Certainly.
I mean, you do have to think about it differently, but not quite in the crock pot thing.
Well, I'm just using that as an example of how when you look at something differently, you can appreciate the other side and your behavior will start to change just because you're seeing things from a different, like realize, wait a second, their experience and what they're going through is different. So, let's go to the break and come back. And for our callers, if you hit one, if you've got a question, I can tell. And if you have a chat room question, just type that stuff in. And if we can, we'll try to get to those. But as a reminder, if you want to learn more about Melissa, look at her book, blog, et cetera, you go to ADHDmarriage.com, and with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. At the top of the show, we were talking about divorce statistics and Melissa and how she works with people. In the middle of the show, we were talking about the big two ahas that can take place that can really change a relationship. Listen, we've got a little bit of time left, and there's a few things that I do want to touch on. One is I want to emphasize, my wife had our first child, we left the hospital without the manual. And I swear the second time I said, we're not leaving home without the second kid unless we have the manual. And she forgot it for the second time. And so we've been raising kids without manuals, the difficult part. And then I realized is that even if I did have a manual, not one size does not fit all unless I had one suited for individuals. So I would surmise that relationships are like that. Every relationship's a little different, and so there's some guidelines, but you can't always follow the guidelines. You have to make some adjustments based off of your individual relationship. Is that an accurate statement, or is there some...
It is an accurate statement in terms of how people respond to each other. Everybody obviously brings their own perceptions from how they were raised and et cetera. Mm-hmm. I will say I have been shocked at how consistent the patterns are in dysfunctional ADHD, non-ADHD relationships. It's one of the reasons, actually, why people can come to these aha moments, and I can describe the situations that they get into so accurately, is because these patterns are so consistent, like parent-child behavior and et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So yes, there are variations on a theme in a number of different ways, but the major themes, patterns, are pretty consistent. And the good news is, so is the sort of the path to recover, if you want to call it that, improving your relationship. That's also fairly consistent. There's sort of an order that is very effective.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, so gaining some empathy and getting to that aha moment that you're talking about for each partner is really important. And then you talked about coaches before. The coach can help partners get to that, and then very importantly, once you get to that and you're really motivated to make changes in yourself, the coaches are great at helping people move forward and start to make the behavioral changes that each person needs to make. So there's sort of these sort of obstacle emotions of anger,
mm-hmm.
and denial, et cetera, that you have to get around. And then getting the treatment, which includes the behavioral therapy and et cetera. So there's this sort of set of steps that you go through that really strengthen your relationship and make it safe and respectful again. One of the issues for why they get to in such a bad place is that you lose the ability to have respectful interactions when you don't know the ADHD symptoms are there and you don't understand what's going on and, you know, et cetera. It all goes sort of downhill because you're saying, well, why isn't this person behaving better, or why isn't he holding up
mm-hmm.
his fair share, or why isn't she doing what she's supposed to be doing? So
certainly. Two things I want to kind of cover last. First of all, for our listeners out there, next week, our topic, I'm going to be interviewing an individual who actually has ADHD who is divorced. And I have to tell you, I searched high and low to try to bring somebody onto the show because I didn't want really a mental health professional. I really wanted somebody who was in it that can talk about it from their perspective. Imagine if you have ADHD, you have organizational problems, time management stuff, you get in divorce, and you have kids in that mix. And I think it's going to be very enlightening. So if you're interested, tune into us next week, and we'll be covering the impact of ADHD on divorce and talking to somebody who's actually in it and some of the challenges that they've had. But past that, I want to kind of move back to hope. And Melissa, you actually put on a class by phone for couples that's very, very effective. Can you share with our listeners what that's all about and share with them if they're interested how they can participate?
Absolutely. It's a 7-week phone seminar, and so that it's for an hour once a week for 7 weeks. And my objective, it's a combination of lecture and then questions. And depending on the size of the class, I take questions both in written form and also verbally. But it's very good at getting people to understand that it's not an individual. It is really the ADHD. There are lots of other couples who have exactly the same questions and are going through exactly the same experience. And so I take people through. It's really an add-on to my book. It sort of goes into more depth what's in my book, but answers a lot of questions on the way. It's very effective for couples. They report that it's very useful, gives them a completely new way to look at each other and their relationship and some specific tools to use, et cetera. So go to my website and find out about it. And I have actually one starting next week. I give it about 3 times a year. And so I have one starting next week, and then you can find out when the next one is after that on the website.
So this will live in archives. So if you're listening to this down the road, just go to ADHDmarriage.com and you get information on the next one coming up, right?
Yep.
Excellent. In closing, any other words of wisdom or any other thoughts that you'd like to share before we close things out?
Well, this is always a good news story. I work with a lot of folks who are really genuinely on the verge of divorce, as I was myself some number of years ago. And once you learn how to look at this differently, once you go through these stages and the different steps, you really can turn things around, and many couples do. So it really is a good news story to start thinking about this and working on it.
Excellent. Melissa, it's always good to have you on the show. You've been a spectacular guest. I appreciate it. We'll have to come up with another topic to have you back. Again, for our guests, if you want to learn more, go to ADHDmarriage.com. And with that, Melissa, thank you very much. Again, everybody, join us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. If you haven't done so, catch us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio. Have a great week.